Okay, so we mentioned that in order to be a Rosh Hashayachid midairaisa, you need 3 mechitzas. In order to carry midrabanan, you need 4 mechitzas. And we talked about the different types of mechitzas that exist. There's either a tail, a charitz, or the classical mechitza. When one is dealing, and we'll see that there are other more creative mechitzas as well, we'll discuss a little bit later. But once one has a kosher mechitza, whatever form of mechitza you have, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Samach Bei Sif Ches that you have to have Oymed Meruba Laparetz. You can have breaks within the mechitzas, but it has to be mostly mechitzos and with a miut, minority of parets. How do you assess Oymed Meruba Laparetz? Do we look at the whole Eruv and assess, well, how much Oymed is there, how many mechitzas and how many piritzos, how many breaks? Or perhaps we assess every wall independently. So the Mishnah Bura in Shin Samach Beis of Kam Mem Hei, right, that we assess each bar of the Eruv independently. And we don't assess the whole Eruv. So you can't have, let's say, a majority of Parutz, and a minority of Mechitza on one bar, just because I have an overwhelming amount of Mechitza throughout the rest of the Eruv. Each bar of the Eruv has to be Oymed Meruba LaParutz. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes from Rashi that perhaps we assess the whole Eruv at once, but that's not the way the Mishnah Berurah processes. That's not the accepted psak, is that each bar of the Eruv has to be Oymed Meruba LaParutz. At the same time, this is an important halacha, it turns out very much Lamaisa. You might have a situation where you have like this, and then you have, let's say, the front of a house. I'll show it to you in a second, and like this, and front of a house, and like this. Let's say you have, this could be one bar of your Eruv, where you have, let's say, fencing. You could jump to the front of the house, fencing, jump to the front of the house, fencing. Oftentimes, when you're using fencing, or, if you're in a nicer suburban area where everything is fenced in, so you'll be able to do this, but you might have a break, let's say, from here to here. From here to here, from here to here, but here to here, but it's Oymed Meruba LaParetz, which is fine. And we don't view this as considered to be separate bars. This is all one bar. It's all going in the same general direction. Even though over here it's completely open, and here is completely open, here is completely open, that's not considered to be a separate bar. That's all part of the same bar of the Eruv, if you get what I'm saying. Even though it might be like this, and then the house is back here, and like this, and the house is back here, as long as the distance isn't too great, that's all considered to be the same general bar. We'll get to that in a second, okay? However, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkatin Memhei an additional chiddush, and that is if you have a situation like this: one. Let's say, and this is 8. I'm not going to draw it to scale, but the numbers will tell you what we're talking about. Let's say you have like this, a situation like this. You have the lines represent the omed, the breaks represent the parets, and that's how many amos we're dealing with. So you have 1 omed, 1 parets, 2 omed, 8 parets, 2 omed, 1 parets, 1 omed. Let's say that's 1 bar of the Eruv, okay? And we said we assess each bar independently. So Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush in Shin Samach Beis of Kam Mem Hei that since this little mini part of the bar is Oymed Meruba LaParetz, the 2 and the 1 gangs up on the 1 in the middle, it's Mevatel, the Mishnah Berurah holds that that Paretz becomes Kesasim. So now what you end up having is you have over here 4, draw this upside down, you have over here 4, over here 4, again I apologize for no whiteboard, you have 4, and the 8 Paretz in the middle. So that would be Oymed Kiparetz. So the Mishnah Berurah makes a chiddush. Even though you have Paretz Meruba B'Metzios, you can have Oymed Meruba B'Din. So in reality, you have Paretz Meruba Oymed B'Din, and Alpi Halacha, you have Oymed Meruba LaParetz. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. So the Chazanish in Simon Samaches Ois Gimel, the Chazanish disagrees on 2 points. The Chazanish Mishnah Berurahs have the Hara on the bottom. Disagrees with 2 points in this Mishnah Berurah. Number 1, the Chazanish holds that that's not the case. The Paretz does not become Kesasim. Even when you have an Oymed Meruba LaParetz, the Paretz is negligible, but it doesn't become Kesasim. So that cannot be used. This would be 3 and 3, not 4 and 4. Because you have Lamaisa, Oymed of 3, not Oymed of 4. The Paretz is negligible, but you don't have, the Paretz doesn't become Kesasim. And then the Chazanish disagrees that Oymed Mishnei Hatzadim does not gang up to be Mavatal Paretz in the middle. You have to have Oymed Meruba with the Oymed is on one side, is greater than the parts that it's on, that's adjacent to it. But you can't have Oymed Meruba by joining together 2 Oymeds on either side of the parts. You can't have Oymed Mishnei Atzadim. This is based on a Gemara in Masechtas Erevin, where the Gemara tells us the discusses the following situation. The paper, I mean, like crazy, but you have three. The Gemara has the following situation. We have three oimed, four parrots, three oimed, four parrots, three oimed. Okay? So the Maisa, what you have is nine oimed and eight parrots. That's oimed merubala parrots. The Gemara says this situation is no good. Even though you have oimed merubala parrots, it's no good. So Gemara initially suggested that's because you have oimed mishnei atzadim. You don't have any adjacent oimed that's greater than the parrots. All the amudim individually, neither one is greater than the parrots. So that's why the Gemara initially assumed this is no good, because oimed mishnei atzadim is no good. Then the Gemara backs out from that and says, no, you know why this is no good? This is no good because of asi avira, the high gisu, the high gisu mavatale, the four on either side of the middle three gang up, and on mavato, this three. So that three becomes like parrots. So now you have, instead of eight parrots, you have 11 parrots and six oimed. That's called asi avira, the high gisu mavatale. So, but what happened to the initial, and we're familiar with this halacha, Rabbi Shechter discussed it a few times. So what happened, though, to that first teretz of the Gemara, that oimed mishnei hatzadim does not work? So the Sharatzion and Shin Samach Beis of Kan Lamed has two opinions about this. Can you have oimed mishnei hatzadim in order to gang up on a porridge in the middle and be mavato it? And the Chazon Ish held that no, that that's no good. You can't do that. So if you would have, let's say, four oimed, seven porridge, four oimed, that would not be oimed merubala parrots. Even though it's oimed merubala parrots in reality, 4, 7, 4, but Lamaisa the Chazon Ish holds that it's no good, and the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. In the halacha of Asi Avir, the high gisa, appears in the Mishnah Berurah, in Shin Samach Gimel Sivkat and Kuf Mem Hei. That we all agree to. And that halacha means, that part of that's the maskan of the Gemara. That means that if you have parrots that's equal or greater to the Yamud on one side, and then you have a parrots on the other side that's greater than the Yamud, as long as it's greater on one side, and even if it's equal on the other side, we would call that Asi Avir, the High Gisa, or the High Gisa, and it will be Mavatale. So you could have a situation where you have Oime Meruba ala parrots in Mitzius, but it's parrots meruba la oimed in din. You could have many amudim, but if there's a parrots on either side of the amud that's mavato, the amud in the middle, the parrots will be mavato the amud, and you could end up having either one. Oime meruba la parrots be mitzias, and parrots meruba la oimed in din. If you have, I'll see if you're the high geese mavato, you could have oime meruba la parrots, and the other way too. Parrots meruba la oimed according to the Mishnah Berurah be mitzias, and oime meruba la parrots in din. But this is the general halacha. Generally speaking, whatever mechitz, huh?
This is the Gemara. There's that.
Yeah. Here you have four on either side, so they gang up on the three in the middle and a mavato it.
Right.
If you would have even three on one side, that would also still be called asi avira the high geese or the high geese in the
bottom.
Right. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Beis Sif Tes that oimed merubah la parrots is the general rule. And then in mechitza is kosher, as long as whatever oimed you have, charitz, tail, mechitza. But if you have, and if as long as you have more mechitzas than piercers, that's okay. But if you have a piercer, yes and mayesa, that disrupts the entire bar of that of the Erev. That entire bar of mechitzas. Can't have a piercer, yes and mayesa. We had a machlekes last time. We discussed the situation of the Chazon Ish, whether or not this is a deraisa or derabanan here to yes and mayesa. The Chazon Ish's case again was the following: you had a house, a building. He was discussing the Erev in Paris, but applies also Manhattan. Building like this. So you have oimed merubah la parrots. Let's say here's your Rishus Hayochid. Here, let's say you have another building here. Just for argument's sake. Okay? Let's say this is your street map of a large city. So you have oimed merubah la parrots certainly on all four sides. B'mitzius. The problem is you have streets going in between, Autobahn, Broadway, Amsterdam, and those are pirtzes yesem ayeser. So that will disrupt your oimed merubah la parrots. So the Chazon Ish wanted to just fix these cross streets with Tzuras HaPesachs. Because he paskin like the Rabbanan, that loy osu rabum mevatel mechitzah. If you're dealing with mechitzos brios, which oimed merubah la parrots is a mechitzah bria, according to the Rabbanan, that's a kuli amanah like a Tzuras HaPesach, that's mechitzos brios. So that's not going to disrupt the Abim Meruba Laparitz. What's the problem, though? You have a Pirtzi Yesemayeser to the Chazanish Pasin, Pirtzi Yesemayeser. The fact that that disrupts the Abim Meruba Laparitz is only the Rabbanan. This is discussed in the Mishnah Berura in the Beir Halacha and Shin Samach Bei Sifyud. Also seems to assume it's only the Rabbanan. Others, and therefore the Chazanish HaDikah calls it off with the Tzuras HaPesach. And Tzuras HaPesach works wherever all you needed is the Rabbanan. Even Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say Asu Rabbanu Mevatlu Mechitzta if all you need the Tzuras HaPesach for is Mid the Rabbanan, as we discussed last time. So Chazanish Pas and Pirtzi Yes Meyes is only the Rabbanan. Instead, if it should have been if it would have been Dairaisa, it should have appeared. You know, when we shine him, we should have a Rabbeinu Chanano. He says that it's Dairaisa, and we should have a Taisus HaRosh. It says it's Dairaisa. We don't have that. So later, Achrayim point out the Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Cutler, and now the more modern Erevin. It is. It's a Rabbeinu Chanano, and there's a Taisus HaRosh. It's a Machlekes Rishonim. Whether or not Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is Dairaisa the Rabbanon. So others disagree with the Het of the Chazanish, and they hold Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is Midairaisa. This is an old Machlekes, dates back to the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanes Yaakov. The Mishkanes Yaakov held it was Dairaisa. The Beis Ephraim held that it was Derabbanan. So there are those who are machmir in this situation, because Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is Derayisa. Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is Derayisa. You have no Oimei Merubah Laparitz. All you have then is you really don't have any Mechitzos, because the Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser disrupts the Oimei Merubah Laparitz, and therefore now you need the Tzuras HaPesach Midairaisa, and the Tzuras HaPesach cannot work Midairaisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Asu Rabim Umevatli Mechitzos. So I guess that's the issue with the Chazanish's Heta. Depends whether you pass in Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is the Rais, or Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser is the Rabbanon. But if, let's say, you have a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser, let's say we're not discussing in a place where it's a Rishus HaRabim the Rais. So you're discussing in a place, or potentially, you're discussing in a place, like a suburban area, there's no Rishus HaRabims around, everything is only a Karmel, so you only have minimal traffic. But you have Oimei Merubah Laparitz, so you have many mechitzas, but you have a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser. So what can you do about the Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Beis Sifyud, you can make a Tzuras HaPesach for a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser, and that will solve your issue. Can I have a whole wall, though, of just Tzuras HaPesach? Meaning, let's say I don't have Oimei Merubah Laparitz with a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser. Oimei Merubah Laparitz, a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser, you can make a Tzuras HaPesach. What if I don't have Oimei Merubah Laparitz? I have Paritz Merubah Laoimei. With many Pirtzis Yesem Eyeser, I don't even have Oimei Merubah Laparitz. I have so many Pirtzis. Can I just fill up all the Pirtzis with Tzuras HaPesach? Or not? So that's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Samuch Beis Sifyud. One opinion is that yes, you could just fill up the whole thing with Tzuras HaPesach. That's fine. That's all right. Because Tzuras HaPesach is like a Mechitza. That itself, perhaps, is like Oimei. However, the opinion of the Rambam, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch 2, is that no, the Tzuras HaPesach just makes the Pirtza negligible. We disregard it. But it's not considered to be Oimei. So if that's the case, we go back to the old Cheshbon. If you have Oimei Merubah Laparitz, you could use your Tzuras HaPesach to be Masakin a Pirtza Yesem Eyeser, and you're fine. Because now you go back to having Oimei Merubah Laparitz, and the Pirtza Yesem Eyeser doesn't disrupt that. But if you don't have Oimei Merubah Laparitz, in reality, your Tzuras HaPesach is not considered to be Oimei, and therefore the Rambam says that you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach in that situation, because you don't have Oimei. It solves the problem of Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser, but it doesn't create Oimei. So if you don't have Oimei Merubah Laparitz, in reality, so then the Rambam holds you cannot use a Tzuras HaPesach to make it Oimei Merubah Laparitz. So that's the opinion is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Beis Sifyud. In order to say fix the Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser with Tzuras HaPesach, you have to have Oimei Merubah Laparitz first. The only problem is the Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser, so Tzuras HaPesach works to fix that problem. But you have to have Oimei Merubah Laparitz. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah and Shin Samach Beis Sifkan and Tess recommends to be machmer for that Rambam. That's why Rav Shechta doesn't carry in most communal Erevin, is because he's machmer for this Rambam. That Tzuras HaPesach, even if all of them would be up to his standards, which many Arabin are not, but even if they would be, he's marking for the Rambam that you need Oimei Merubah Laparitz and Metzius in order to rely on the Tzuras HaPesach for Yesem Eyeser. There are those who want to be marking for the Rambam, this is a suggestion of Sam Sofer, and just put poles every Yeser Tfachim. Because the Rambam says a pier, the Tursa of Pesach doesn't work for Pirsi Yasame Yeser unless you have Oimei Ruba Lapor. So fine, we won't have a Tursa of Pesach for Yasame Yeser. We'll just have poles every less than Eser Amos. We'll have poles. Every 9 Amos we'll have poles. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav Paskin, that's such an Erev is good. That's how Lubavitchers build an Erev. And that's a Chabad camps. They put poles every 9 Amos. To be cheshish for this Rambam, because they were very into the Rambam. They were in Rambam every day. It's part of their Seder Alimun. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees, Reb Chaim disagrees in his Sefer on the Rambam. That's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam didn't mean that you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that spans Eser Amos long unless you have an Emir Rubal HaParetz. What the Rambam means is Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work to create an Emir Rubal HaParetz. It solves the problem of Pirtzi Yasmei Eser, but it doesn't solve the problem of Emir Rubal HaParetz. So just because you have poles every 9 Amos doesn't solve the problem. The problem is you don't have Emir Rubal HaParetz. And Tzuras HaPesach only works to solve the problem of Pirtzi Yasmei Yasser, not to make it Oimei Merubal HaParetz. So you can't rely on the heter of Tzuras HaPesach for more than Eser Amos. Not that each individual Tzuras HaPesach can't be more than Eser Amos. So that's one problem that you can't have if you're going to rely on Oimei Merubal HaParetz, is you can't have a Pirtzi Yasmei Yasser. But for the most part, most of us are not choshish for this opinion of the Rambam. Most suburban Erevin do not conform to this opinion of the Rambam. And we rely on the fact that Tzuras HaPesach can work, even if you don't have Oimei Merubal HaParetz, in order to fix the Pirtzi Yasmei Yasser. You could even have a whole bar of an Erev that's just Tzuras HaPesach. But another problem that could disrupt an Oimei Merubal HaParetz is if you have a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. That's discussed by the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Aleph Sif Beis. Even if it's less than Eser Amos, the Shulchan Mishnah Berurah discusses how big it has to be. It's more than Lavud. But less than Lavud obviously wouldn't be a problem, more than Lavud. But if Pischa B'Keren Zavis does cause a problem, what is a Pischa B'Keren Zavis? So that the Shulchan Aruch describes as if it's Eichel Mishnei Rosheha, it looks like this. It's missing from both ends, like that. That's a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. If this would go all the way, that would not be a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. That's called Oimei Merubal HaParetz. As long as this is not Yasem HaYeser, you'd be all right. But if it's Eichel Mishnei Rosheha, that's a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. What can you do with that? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifka and Yud, you can solve the problem by just making a Tzuras HaPesach here to here, like that, from the corner. Make a Tzuras HaPesach, that will solve the problem. The Chazon Ish comes up with a creative solution, which is to do like this. What? If you just put one pole in the corner, that's also enough. Why? Because now we say that this is Oimei Merubal HaParetz, this side is Oimei Merubal HaParetz, and that's all right. The problem with the Pischa B'Keren Zavis is that we can't say Oimei Merubal HaParetz because we don't know where to end. There's no end point. So we go all the way over here, the whole world. So that's Paras Merubal HaOmed. We don't know where this one should end, so that's Paras Merubal HaOmed. If you just put a little dot, a little pole there, now we could assume, this is Oimei Merubal HaParetz, this is Oimei Merubal HaParetz, and that's all right. Yeah.
You don't count the Avir behind each side?
No, we don't count the Avir HaOlam of every Mechitza, otherwise we never have every Mechitza would be Paras Merubal HaOmed. It's only, but over here where there's no end in sight, we don't know where we're going to. So then we have no choice but to count the Avir HaOlam. So that's what the Chazon Ish said, but if you put a pole, now we have an ending point. So now it's limited in terms of what we're considering as part of our Cheshbon. So we discussed things that could be considered to be a mechitza. We discussed tail, we discussed charitz, and the classical mechitza. We also discussed briefly last time the concept of a tel hamislake. Tel hamislake, of course, is not a straight cliff, but a more of a precipitous drop, and not a straight cliff. It's more on an angle. And we said if it's oile asarat tefachim itoich da'od amos, that is a valid for mechitza. Lamaisa, it's very difficult to rely on these tel hamislakeis with regards to an Erev because it's hard to know where to join it up with the rest of the Erev. Do you join it up from the top of the tail or the bottom of the tail? See, if you have a cliff, so let's say I have a mechitza, my fence that comes to the edge of the cliff is a drop, precipitous drop, and now I pick up with my fence at the other end of the cliff. But if you have a tel hamislakeis, Rabbi Shechter quotes from a Truva's a Tshuva Sefer called, what is it called? Beis Shlomo, where's the tail mislakeit? Where's the mechitza? Is it from the bottom of the tail or the top of the tail? So where should you join up your fencing? To the bottom of the hill or the top of the hill? But even besides that point, practically they're not too useful because you have to measure them to make sure it's exactly which is difficult. And then you have to go back and check that nothing has changed. And in Lamaisa, it's a clumsy way to build an Eruv. So I often, whenever I'm involved, I discourage people from using them. Maybe sometimes they have no choice. But I discourage it. It becomes very difficult. Another type of mechitza, which is a little bit more creative, which people who in communities who want to build an Eruv on the cheap are often inclined to use, is bushes. Can a bush be a mechitza? It can be, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses it, that if the branches are all within love to one another, so and it doesn't sway too much in the wind, we'll get to that in a second. So a bush can be considered to be a mechitza as long as everything is within lavud. But one tricky part of using bushes is that oftentimes, if you pay attention to this, when you learn Hilchos Eruv and you walk around your town in a different light with a different perspective, if you look at bushes, oftentimes shrubs, they don't come down to the ground. Oftentimes there's stems that come up, and higher up they might be very full. Lower down they're not. So if they're not full all the way to the ground, you'd have a situation of mechitza tluya, which is a hanging mechitza, a dangling mechitza, which Rav Shechter discussed that that's no good if the gediyim are boken bo. If it's raised 3 tefachim off the ground and the goats could go underneath it, that invalidates the mechitza. Rav Shechter discussed the Chassam Sofer and the Chazanish. Can you put a pole of a Tzuras HaPesach high up on the wall because the Gedeim ain't derech Gedeim Mustachik B'Kselem, they don't walk right underneath the pole that's against the wall. Nobody walks like that. So can you have it if it's against the wall? There's no Bekias Gedeim, but here certainly on bushes or shrubs where it's in the middle, it's not against the wall. It would be, if it doesn't go all the way to the ground, there'd be a problem of Mechitza Tluya. There's a slang term called bush league. I often say if a person uses bushes for an Eruv, that's bush league. It's cheap. I don't encourage that because the guy trims his bushes. We might be using, you don't even know, and we're using. I was involved in an Eruv like that in a metropolitan area, but was relying on someone's shrubs, and they had no idea. The people themselves had no idea. If they call their gardener to get rid of the bushes, the Eruv in the town is down. So it's not the way to go about go up unless the person who's building the Eruv is the one whose shrubs you're relying on. Another type of mechitza that's based on halacha l'moishe misina is called pitikra yored v'soisim. There's a machlekes how many walls you need in order to say pitikra yored v'soisim, and the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch is that you need 2 mechitzas. At a right angle to one another. Once you have 2 mechitzas at a right angle to one another and you have a roof over the top, like a bus stop is a good example, so then we could say P-Tikra Yared V'Saisim, and underneath the bus stop would be considered to be a Rishus HaYachid. Even though all you have is 2 walls, you could close off the rest by viewing the ceiling, the roof, as if it comes down. However, the Gemara says in Masechtas Eruvin that this does not work if it's Nifritz V'Keren Zavis V'Kiruy of Balasin. If it's a Karen Zavis and its roof is on an angle, then you don't say Pitikar Yard V'Saisim. So there's a Machlaikas, what does that mean? What case is that referring to? And it appears in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Samach Aleph Sif Beis. Rashi says what it means is the roof is on an angle. Simply, Kiruya Balach, Pichs of a Karen Zavis, Kiruya Balach means the roof is on an angle. So if you have a house like this, just to draw the whole picture. Even if you have 2 walls over here, let's say it'd be a corner of a house, and you have a roof that goes like this, you can't say Pitikra in that type of situation. The Mishnah Berurah says it's pretty easy to solve, because most of the times they don't build roofs like that, they put some sort of siding underneath it. So now you have a straight roof. So then we would say Pitikra Yared V'Saisim. But according to Rashi, we don't say it if it's Balachsin. Taisa says, no, what it's referring to is a classical case of Pitikra. Karen Zavis. Of a piskel b'karen zavis. What it means is you have a house like this. The roof looks like that. So we can't say on this part pitikra yared v'saisin because it's b'karen zavis. It's ayichu mishnei roshel. Why not? So the stipler explains Taisus understood pitikra to be midin pesach. Pitikra is not a mechitza, it's midin pesach. So if I have, we view it as a doorway, so if I have 2 walls like this, and I have a roof on top, the other sides are not openings, they're breaks in the walls, those are doorways. But if it's by Karen Zavis, Pisgah by Karen Zavis, lay out the engine. Nobody builds a doorway in the corner of a house. So then we can't say Pitikra either. Whereas Rashi understood that, no, Pitikra is not Midin Pesach. Pitikra is Midin Mechitza. So therefore Rashi said the roof is like a beginning of a Mechitza. And we envision the rest as if it comes down. But if the roof is on an angle, so then we can't envision it as if it's coming down because it itself is on an angle. It would have to be horizontal. Then it's a little bit. We can envision the rest as coming down. And we're machmer for both opinions. That is, we treat it midim Pesach, we treat it midim Mechitza, and therefore we cannot, we don't allow, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't allow, it quotes both Rashi and Tosfos, you can't have Pitikra on the corner of a house, and you can't have Pitikra if the roof is on an angle. Tosfos took this one step further, in this part we don't, Tosfos said, even if it appears a yes and a yes, we don't apply Pitikra Yod V'Sosim, and that fits, because nobody makes a doorway that's more than Eser Amos wide. But that part of the Taisus we don't accept. Shulchan Aruch Pasim's Piritza, that Pitikra can work even for a Piritza Yesem Yeser. In order to say Pitikra Yod Vesaisim, you have to have underneath it an area of Dawid Tvachim by Dawid Tvachim. Not too big. You have to have an area of Dawid Tvachim by Dawid Tvachim. But because there is some minimal shear, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Vav quotes a chumra from the Mordechai that by the Iskupa, we mentioned this last time, we can't assume that in the Iskupa, a front porch is a Rishus HaYachid. Even if I have two walls like this and an overhang, which is maybe even horizontal on your front stoop, the skupa, we can't assume that that will be considered to be a Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the Pitikra Yerid V'Saisim. A Chumrah, because maybe sometimes it won't be a big enough area. Sometimes you have very small porches. So since even if you have a larger one, Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai that you can't rely on Pitikra Yerid V'Saisim in order to consider the front porch a Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara discusses Masechta Sukkah, a unique case of Pitikra, which is a limitation of Pitikra. The Gemara discusses, and Daf Yuchesim et Aleph, can you use Pitikra on all four sides? Again, we said no, you need two mechitzas at a right angle. But the Gemara says, initially discusses this case of an afsadra, of a, like a hotel, where you have rooms all around. Sometimes youth hostels are like this. In Yerushalayim, maybe you ever stayed in one of these. But like an atrium in the middle. Right, you have rooms all around with an open atrium in the middle. So they want to do is put schach over here for the sukkah, for sukkahs. These are rooms, and there's an atrium. Oh, no. These are the rooms, I'm sorry. Yeah, these are the rooms. Yeah, these are the rooms. These are the rooms. They have a front ceiling. They have a front porch you don't get rained on, right? These are the rooms. This is the front porch, and here the front awning, around all the way around, and this is the open part, the atrium. So they want to put schach over here to use it as a sukkah and sukkahs. But you have no walls here. This is open. This is just roof. So Gemara says, well, use pitikra yad v'saisim on all four sides, and that will be the walls for your sukkah. So even if you hold that pitikra could work on all four sides, the Gemara here says that this is no good. Because the roof wasn't made to enclose the sukkah, the roof was made to enclose the area that's underneath it. So that cannot, underneath here, it was made to enclose, this is area A where the rooms are, this is area B where the awnings are, the area C is the sukkah. So it was made to enclose area B, to protect area B, not area C. So therefore the Gemara says such a particular we don't say in that situation. We only say it to serve as a mechitza for area B, not for area C. So Moshe applied this to the Erev that used to be in Manhattan. The Erev that Moshe is discussing in Manhattan was not our Erev, Manhattan Erev. That was built later. Moshe and his Chuvist about the Erev of Manhattan is discussing an Erev that used to, YU Museum once did an exhibit on Erev, and they had a picture, of, you know, a roadmap of what Moshe's Erev that he was discussing looked like. There was elevator tracks that used to go through Manhattan. There's no more elevated train tracks in Manhattan for the most part. But this used to go through Manhattan, and one of the bars of the Erev that they were relying on was to consider the elevated train tracks to be Pitikra Yared V'Saisim, and that would enclose the that bar of the Erev. So Moshe disagrees that you can't use the elevated train tracks to be a mechitza for the town on the other side, because the elevated train tracks wasn't made to enclose the city. It was made to protect the people who are walking underneath it, or perhaps even just to hold the trains on top. Rav Moshe says it wasn't made to protect anybody. It's worse than the case in the Gemara Sukkah. So, but certainly not better than it. So Rav Moshe says you can't use the wall, the ceiling of the elevated train tracks to see a particular Yerushalayim to enclose the city. And many disagreed with Rav Moshe And they held, even if you can't use the out, the, you know, the inner wall of the elevated train tracks, you could use the outer wall. Meaning, let's say this was the area, this is Manhattan, and the elevated train tracks that run through it. So even if you have walls all the way around, the Maharsha says you can't use elevated train tracks for use it, serve as a mechitza for this, let's say, for the area of the Erev, which is Area A. So everyone said, yes, you can't use the inside side, this wall, this side of the train tracks, you're right, you can't use that pitikra to enclose Area A, but you can use this one. This one was made to enclose this area underneath it. Once it serves as a mechitza for this area underneath it, it should serve as a mechitza for the Area A too. Once it's a mechitza, again, for underneath the train tracks, so pitikra yod v'saisim over here, it should be pitikra yod v'saisim even for Area A as well. Many disagreed with the Moshe about that point. Okay, so we discussed pitikra, we discussed tel mislake, the other different types of mechitzas. Another type of mechitza, which is a mechitza midoraisa, but not midorabanan, is a lechi. The Gemara says, and daf yod beis mebeis, and erevin, that lechi is a mechitza midoraisa. Midorabanan, we don't rely on a lechi. A lechi is just one side post. We don't rely on that unless you're in a mavoi. Mavoi is courtyard. You know, you have all the houses used to open up into a courtyard, and then the courtyards would all open up into a mavoi, and that would have a gate to the street, to the streets of the city. So you can only use a lechi in a mavoi, but not in a chatzer. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sefkat in Beis, in the name of the Tshuvas HaRashba, that what is the difference between a mavoi and a chatzer? Why does a lechi work in a mavoi and not in a chatzer? So he explains, because in a chatzer you would do more private type activities. You would, you know, hang out your laundry, you'd walk around in your pajamas. In a mavoi, which was less private, you would do less private activities. So a lechi can only work in a mavoi, whereas less private activities, you can't use it in a chatzer where you do more private activities. And the Rama writes in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav, all of our mavuos now have the status of a chatzer. We don't have a mavoi anymore. And therefore, lechi doesn't work anymore, kaira doesn't work anymore for our streets. They all have the status of a chatzer, and you would need a tzuris ha-pesach. You can't use a lechi, even though lechi is a good mechitz midaraisa, not midarabanan. The Mishnah Berurah explains, why don't we have a mavoi anymore? Because we don't have this system of housing, for the most part, in our where we live. We don't have houses that open up into chatzeros, that open up into mavuos. We don't really have that kind of housing set up. So therefore, you don't have the heter of lechi. The Magen Avraham says, if that's the case, I would say just the opposite. If we don't have this set up, why don't we see everything is a mavoi? Not everything is a chatzer. Again, why is a mavoi better? Because you don't do private activities there. Good, so now we don't have any chatzeros, we don't have any mavuos. We don't do private activities outside of our home. Nobody walks around in their home, you know, nobody who's sane walks around in their pajamas and hangs out their laundry, you know, in the middle of the street. So then we really don't have a chatzer or a mavoi. Everything is less private. So if anything, we said a mavoi, you could use a lechi or a kaira because it's less private. So now argues the Magen Avraham, why don't we say you could use a lechi and a kaira everywhere if we don't do private activities? So Chazon Ish answers, he says, no, what it means is the whole setup fell apart. We don't have, it's not that everything is the status of a mavoi, everything is the status of the street. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, we don't have a mavoi, we don't have a chatzer, this entire setup is entirely falling apart, and therefore everything needs a tzuris ha-pesach. Lechi was a unique heter for a mavoi, which was part of a certain structure of housing, which we don't have the whole structure anymore. After the Chazon Ish also said by Lokas Neiros Chanukah is coming up, you can't light in a chatzer either. We don't have, even though it's discussed in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have a chatzer vis-a-vis Lokas Neiros Chanukah. We just don't have this whole system of housing anymore. So fine, everything is the status of the street. A lechi or a kaira certainly is not good enough anymore. You need a tzuris ha-pesach. However, there was a chumrah of mavoi. A kula of mavoi was lechi and kaira. There was a chumrah of mavoi too. And that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Hesef Beis, that in a mavoi, even a pirtz of Dalet Tfachim is a problem. We said that Dalet Eser Amos disrupts, pirtz of Yesem Eser disrupts Oymi Rubal Apart. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that by a mavoi, even a pirtz of Dalet Tfachim creates a problem. And the disrupts Ayman Merubal apart. I believe it's Dalet Tfachim, not Dalet Amos. We'll check one second. Miss Said. think it's Dalet Tvachim. Yes, Dalet Tvachim. So 1 minute. Now, it's true, we don't have a Mavui Lekula, we can't use a Lechi or a Kaira, but can we do away with Mavui's Lechumer too? We don't have to worry about appearance of Dalet Tvachim. So Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, no. We don't have a Mavui Lekula, but we also should not... we don't have a Mavui... you can't use the kulas of Mavoi, but the chumras of Mavoi we should retain. And therefore the Magen Avraham says in our Erevin you should not have a pirtza of Dalet Tvachim either. We have to be chayshish that our Erevin and a Mavoi, and even a pirtza of Dalet Tvachim should be a problem. So therefore Rabbi Shechter always says that, you know, we in the YU Erev, even in the small YU Erev, there are pirtzas all over the place. Rabbi Shechter doesn't have a problem jumping from a house to a fence to a Tzuras Pesach. Most community erevin that are built, as I would say, not by Rabbi Shechter or his Talmidim, will make sure that there are no pirtzes at all. If I'm not mistaken, in the Breuer's Erev, which was built by Machon Lora, based in the Muncie, there are no pirtzes at all. And I would say that's the standard that's employed throughout most erevin who are built not by Rabbi Shechter. Rabbi Shechter is more open to having pirtzes. We'll get to it in a second why. But Rav Shechter has said numerous times you really shouldn't have pirtzes, because he's chayshish for this opinion of the Magen Avraham that we have to be chayshish that a pirtz of Dalet Tvachim is a problem in a mavoi, and even though we don't have the status of mavoi to use the kulas of lechi and kaira, we should be chayshish lechumra not to have a pirtz of Dalet Tvachim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes others who disagree, but who are meiko that we don't have a mavoi at all, but hein lechumra hein lekula, but he's chayshish for that. Rav Shechter though did suggest that you could solve the problem by putting up a lechi, because then mimanafshach. If it's a mavoi, so we have a lechi. And if a dalet tvachim is a problem because it's a mavoi, we have a lechi. And if it's not a mavoi, so then we don't have a lechi doesn't work, and we don't have a problem of a pirtz of dalet tvachim either. It wasn't his chop, that's of Shlomo Kluger's chop. So Shechter once suggested we should fix all the pirtzes in the YU Erev and put up lechis. But I don't think he suggested every time we go around, and we've done it 10 times. I don't think they've ever done it. Even any mechitza, though, whatever mechitza we've discussed, whether it's mechitza, lechi, even Tzuras HaPesach, the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Beis Sif Aleph says the general rule that every mechitza has to be yachol lamad beruach mitzui. It has to be able to withstand the normal wind. If it can't withstand the normal wind, then it's no good as a mechitza. Dayan Bloy writes in his Sefer Nesivos Shabbos, which is a classic on Hilchas Erevin, that it depends on where you live, what a normal wind is. What a normal wind is in Chicago doesn't apply here. It's a windy place here. It doesn't apply. But it also depends on where you live and what time of year you find yourself in. For whatever reason, Sukkot is a very windy time of the year. Every year, it's very windy. So that's called a normal wind. You can't call that an abnormal wind. It's called a normal wind. It depends on where you are and what time of, the time of year it is, what's considered to be a normal wind. But if it can withstand the normal wind, it's a good mechitza. If not, then it's not a good mechitza. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Hei, so to a lechi, has to be yachol lamaid beruach mitzuyah. The Mishnah Berurah there adds, so to a Tzuras HaPesach. Every mechitza that we discuss has to be yachol lamaid beruach mitzuyah. The Mishnah Berurah, though, does add in Sifkan Chaf Aleph, Shin Samach Gimel Sifkan Chaf Aleph, let's say the lechi is yachol lamaid beruach mitzuyah on the bottom half, but the upper half is not yachol lamaid beruach mitzuyah. The upper half, waves back and forth in the wind. So he says that's not a problem, because all you need a lechi is to be 10 tefachim tall. Once it's 10 tefachim tall, it's kosher. The upper part doesn't matter that it's going back and forth in the wind. But what about a Tzuras HaPesach? The Sharatzion there discussed in Sivkot and Yidalof. I have a Tzuras HaPesach where the bottom part, the either side, on the bottom half, bottom part of the sidebars, the Konamikan and the Konamikan, but up on top it's not able to. That's wagging in the wind. Or the middle wire is wagging in the wind. So the Sharatzion quotes from Machzis HaShekel that that's okay. First he says it's not okay. It all has to be Yochalam Baruch Mitzuyah. And then he quotes from Machzis HaShekel that that's fine. In the Machzis HaShekel understood, and this is critical in terms of understanding Tzuras HaPesach, that the main Tzuras HaPesach is the two Bada, is the two Konamikan, the Konamikan. And therefore tonight, and all they have to be is 10 Tefachim tall. The rest, the Kana Agabem, is just to fulfill, to fill out the Tzuras HaPesach. But it's not really part of the main Tzuras HaPesach. So even if that wags in the wind, that's Enu Yochalam Baruch Mitzuyah, that doesn't disrupt the Tzuras HaPesach. And the Machzitzah Shekel brings a riotous position from the halach of Yochel Lahamed El Shalkash. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Beis Sifir Aruch, in order for Tzuras HaPesach to be kosher, it has to be Yochel Lahamed El Shalkash. It has to be able, the side pole, has to be able to hold a weak door, you know, the weakest door that they would use in that part of the world, the Rishaft always says, that would go to the other Kanami Kan. If it can't hold the door, though, then it's no good. Rishetra always said it has to be able to go to the other Kanami Kan. That's his unique position. Rabbi Eider has a little thin book. Rabbi Eider built many Erevin in our area. Throughout the world, many Erevin, but he was a very prolific Erev builder. So, many Erevin in New Jersey. I would say the Rove of Erevin in New Jersey, Connecticut, were built by Rabbi Eider. Now, he passed away a few years ago, now they've been taken over by other people and they've been changed somewhat, but he was a major builder of Erevin. So he disagrees, he writes in his little sefer, that it has to be a minimal door, so minimal door with minimal measurements. It has to only be able to go up 10 tefachim tall and go out 4 tefachim wide, the minimal shear of a Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't have to be able to hold a door that would go all the way to the other Kana Mikan. Just 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, which is not a lot at all. That's very little. You're not asking it to hold a lot. It doesn't have to be too sturdy. Rabbi Shechter has a more ambitious shita. His is that it has to not have a door that goes all the way to the top, but a door that goes 10 tefachim tall and all the way to the side. So that becomes an issue when you're building an Eruv, is that, well, now we have to consider how far is the other pole away from this pole. And according to Rabbi Shechter, that becomes a problem at a certain point. You can have, even if we're going in a straight line, I have a pole over here, I have a pole over there, 187th Street, so for Rabbi Eider, as long as the wire goes on top of both Kanami Kans, you're fine. You know, who cares how wide, how long it is? But according to Rabbi Shechter, it has to be able to hold the door that would go that far. Wow, now you're asking a lot of this Kanami Kan. It has to be very sturdy to do that. So Rabbi Shechter, at a certain point, we'll have a problem with having Kanim that go too far away from one another. It also becomes a problem in terms of skipping poles. Because it's a very relevant issue in community Erevin is they oftentimes will skip poles because oftentimes we're using telephone poles and telephone wires, most community Erevin outside of Manhattan. That's why I don't like using the YU Erevin. It's not typical. But most Erevin use telephone poles. So telephone poles, oftentimes what you'll have is, let's say we have the wire goes on top of pole A, then it's on the side of pole B and on top of pole C, right? Let's say the Erev goes a straight line, but it goes on the side of pole B. So we'll get to in a second, the Kana al-Gabe must go on top. So over here it goes on top of pole A, on top of pole C, on the side of pole B. So, well, you know what? Instead of fixing pole B by putting a little piece of tubing next to it and making an al-Gabe, which we'll get to in a second, we'll skip pole B. Why don't you skip it? So you can skip poles. Rabbi Eider is a sheet that never skipped poles, we'll get to. But you can skip a pole, as long as they're in a straight line. We'll ignore pole B. We'll negate it. The problem is you can do that. What about if pole C is a problem? We'll skip to pole D. You can do that too. The problem is at a certain point, it can't be able to hold a door that goes so long. So that's a limitation on skipping poles within the Shefter's opinions. It has to be able, Yafal Hamadel Chakash, that goes all the way. But what about Al-Gabayan? What about the Kan al-Gabeim? Does that have to be able to hold a Dara Shokash? So, or, you know, as that kind of like a door hinge that over there that we have on the top that makes the door close. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Beis Sifir Aleph that the Kan al-Gabeim can be made out of Gemi, quotes in the name of the Yushalmi. It can even be very thin. Even a little string. Rabbi Shechter quoted his Meiri with his Simcha Zisel Broidi that perhaps we should reject this Yushalmi. It's a different pshat than the Yushalmi. Never said it. But Lamaisa, we have not changed the psak. The Shulchan Aruch says you could use a Kan al-Gabeim that's made out of string. And that's okay. So ask the Machzitzah Hashekel, 1 minute. You have this string on top. You don't think that that's blowing in the wind? How in the world is this string not blowing in the wind? It's made out of string. Of course it's going to blow in the wind. So Machzitzah Hashekel says, must be. And why does it have to behold the Del Shokash? Why is this an inferior part of the Tzuras HaPesach? The other Kanami Kans have to be able to hold the Del Shokash. Why doesn't this part? So says Machzitzah Hashekel, must be the Kan al-Gabeim. It's not Ikar. It's not a fundamental, critical part of the Tzuras HaPesach. It's just there to fill out the Tzura, to fill out the picture of the doorway. Therefore, he says it doesn't have to be Yachol Lamed Baruch Metzuya either. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, most Paiskim are Mekel that the Kan al-Gabeim, can blow back and forth in the wind. The Mishkanis Yaakov was against this, that he held the sagging wire on the top was a problem. One of the reasons was because it blows in the wind. And then it has to be Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Sifritz of Frank, the Machzis HaShekel, all disagreed in Armekel, and I would say that is the common practice as well. The telephone wires dafka sag, because if they want them, then that's what most Aaron rely on, so that they don't snap when it blows, the wind blows. But what is called Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya? What is called Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya? So if you have a canvas sukkah or ever investigated the issue of canvas sukkah, you're familiar, there's a famous machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. What is called Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya? The Mishnah Berurah's opinion is that it means it blows back and forth in the wind. It billows back and forth. That's called Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya. That's why the canvas sukkahs are so such an issue. If it blows back and forth, three tefachim, okay, a whole discussion about the canvas sukkahs. But it has to, if it blows in the wind back and forth, that's Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya. The Chazon Ish disagrees. He's more meiko in Hilchos Sukkah. No, what it means is the wall blows up. It, you know, elevates off the ground. That's Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya. The fact that it billows back and forth is not a problem. He's more meiko by the canvas sukkahs. However, when it comes to Tzuras HaPesach, because the Chazon Ish hold, in order to be Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya, the mechitzah has to become puzzle. And pasul mechitza by sukkah means that it blows off the ground. So if you tie it down to the bottom for the Chazon Ish, it's less of an issue. Perhaps less of an issue. However, the Chazon Ish by Tzuras HaPesach has a more chumra dikashita, because the Chazon Ish holds Tzuras HaPesach, in order for it to be kasher, the kanal gabeim has to stay within the lie of the two poles. Let's say you have a wire that starts over here. Oh, that's a bad example. Yeah, Chazon Ish, you have a wire over here, and goes to another pole, okay? And the wire is on top of both poles. What if the wire blows outside of the lie of these two poles? Now it's no good. The Chazon Ish calls, that's called nifso bekach, that's puzzle. So even if it doesn't blow three tefachim, it just blows out of the lie of the two poles for the Chazon Ish, that's no good. That's called nifso bekach. So that's called... So according to Machatzis HaShekel, that Eino Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya is good with the Kanal Gabeim, you don't have as much of a problem. But for the Chazon Ish, that's, if it blows out of the lie of the two poles, that's, that, according to those who are Machmir, that the Kanal Gabeim has to be Yochel Lama Baruch Mitzuya, so then if it just blows out of the lie of the two poles, that would be no good. This is the real issue with regards to skipping poles. Because what happens is, oftentimes, when you skip a pole, let's say you have pole A, a wire that goes on top, to, say pole B, then it's going to come back to pole C. That's not as egregious here on pole A. Pole B comes back to pole C. So you have, let's say the wire is an aerial view. The wire goes from this pole to this pole to that pole. So if you skip pole B, let's say pole B, it's on the side of the pole. Here on A and C, it's on top. So if you're going to skip pole B, now you have a problem, because if you ignore pole B, what you have is, we ignore it, the wire goes like this. So ignoring the pole, but the wire goes outside of the lie of the two poles. That's no good, according to the Chazon Ish. Puzzle. Or if you have a branch, you have a tree here that's pulling the wire outside of the lie of the two poles. That's also no good for the Chazon Ish. So skipping poles becomes very tricky, because you have to make sure that they're all in a straight line. Because if the middle pole is outside of the lie of the two outer poles, now the wire is going outside of the lie of the two poles. So the Chazon Ish, it's no good. So that's why Rabbi Eider, Rabbi Heinemann, who from Baltimore, from the Star K, who also is, builds the many Erevin, or as a policy, don't skip poles. But Rabbi Schefter holds, as long as it's pretty much in the lie of the two poles, you can't be makeover. Rabbi Schefter even has a kula. It says in the Gemara. Anybody have any more? It says in the Gemara that they used to build Erevin Kanal Gabeim. They used to use Chavilei's Muroids. They used to use grape branches. So a grape branch goes like this, and like this, and like this. So the Shefter said, obviously, when they use branches, it went out of the line, the two poles. Branches don't go straight. And it says they used to use branches for the Kanal Gabeim. So the Shefter said, there is some room to be made, latitude, if it goes out of the line, the two poles, to a little degree, but not too much. I've asked him a million times to pin him down. Well, what angle, how much? For him, it's a judgment call. That's what it is. And he looks at it, that's too much. He looks at it, that's okay. You know, that's much of Hilchos Erevin with the Shefter. So, He felt that he didn't want to give a shear to it, but as long as it's not too much, it basically looks like it's going in a straight line, he's willing to be mako. But tree branches that are pulling the wire out of the line of the two poles are a serious issue. In order for mechitzos, we discussed it, has to be yochalam v'ruch mitzuyah, I mean, v'al parts, what is it good for a mechitza? One major rule, though, in terms of mechitzos and omen meru v'al parts, is that the mechitzos have to relate to the area that you're trying to enclose. The Gemara has this case. I don't know if everybody got it. This is one of the more difficult issues that Shefter discusses. Is if you have what he calls siluk mechitzos, so the Gemara describes is this following case: a chatzar gedayla, a chatzar katana that opens up into a chatzar gedayla. So the Gemara discusses. Let's say this is 100, and this is 9, and this is 100. I know it's not the scale. So the chatzar gedayla is a rishus hayachid. You see why? Wall. Ayim meruba laparitz. 100, 9. I know it's not the scale. Okay. Chatzar katana. What's the status of the chatzar katana? Says the Gemara. The chatzar katana is paritz b'miluo. It has no fourth wall. Paritz b'miluo means a whole side is open. This is no good. You can't carry in the chatzar katana. Why not? Because paritz b'miluo. Ask the Gemara. Why don't we say ayim meruba laparitz? Here you have ayimed. Here you have Oymed, 100 Oymed, 100 Oymed, 9 parts. Say Oymed, Rubal parts. The Gemara says you cannot say that because of Siluk Mechitzos. They're boxed out of the area you're trying to enclose. You're trying to enclose the Chatzar Katana, Area A. The Mechitzos don't relate to Area A. They're boxed out by these Gifufim, by these extra Mechitzos that jut into the Chatzar Gedayla. So that's a case of Siluk Mechitzos, where the Mechitzos don't relate to that area that you're trying to enclose. The example Rabbi Shechter gave of that Gemara in a more contemporary setting is the guy who was trying to enclose his private home, let's say, I don't know, in a place where there's no Eruv, a flatbush or something, I don't know. No, there is an Eruv there, I don't know. A backyard, okay? And you have 9, 9, no Pirtzi, yes, and yes, and 100. Okay, so the back. This is, let's say, the backyard. We'll call this Area A, Area B, Area C. You have the backyard and the two alleys on the side of the house, or the driveway, whatever you want to call it. So Area A you can carry in. Why? Wall. I am in Rubal Aparitz to enclose Area A. Area B and Area C, Rabbi Shechter argues, you cannot carry in. Why not? This is Paritz B'miluoy. They're open on this side. Ah, but why don't we say, I am in Rubal Aparitz? We have 9 here, 9 here, and the house itself is 100. Good cheshbon. So Shechta argues, no, you can't count this to enclose this area. Why not? Because this part was never made, this is boxed out, this is to enclose the house. It doesn't relate to the side parts of the house. It's not adjacent to it. Why isn't it adjacent to it? This part is not adjacent, the front of the house is not adjacent to the side alleyway. Because it's boxed out by the side of the house. If you wouldn't have this side of the house, if you would have this, then you could say that. You could say this wall encloses this side part. And you have 100 here, 9 here, 9 here, it would be good. But because you have extra mechitzos, the extra mechitzos box out the misalik, this front part from relating to the side part of the rishus. And therefore, the concept called siluk mechitzos, which is no good. Rabbi Shechter extended this concept to, if you remember the last time, from the Gag HaBoilet. He holds that mechitzos of one ground level can't relate to mechitzos of another ground level, like the walls underneath the George Washington Bridge can't serve to enclose the George Washington Bridge, because again, the mechitzos don't relate to that ground level. He expanded this concept of siluk mechitzos, and mechitzos have to be adjacent to the area you're trying to enclose, to be relevant to ground levels as well. Shechter takes this one step further, which is his own. This already is in the Gemara. It's an extension of the Gemara. Shechter took it one step further that if you have the following situation, Will told me he invented this on his tour of the Riverdale Eruv, but you have this. You have a ground level. It's a precipitous drop in ground level. Let's say this is more than 10 tefachim. So what would you do if you were building an Eruv there? You close with a Turis HaPesach here, and you start another Turis HaPesach here. I mean, logical way to build an Eruv. So Rishetra holds that's no good. Why? Because this ground level doesn't relate to this ground level. So vis-a-vis this ground level, there's no extra mechitzos. You just went off the cliff. You know, this might be a mechitza for that ground level. but you have nothing continuing. Ah, the Tirus HaPesach here, the Tirus HaPesach here doesn't relate to this ground level. Even though the ground level you're trying to enclose is where the Tirus HaPesach is, the Tirus HaPesach themselves don't join up. You can't skip from one to the other because there's a break in ground level. Even though there's no pirta, there's no break. There's absolutely no breaks. It doesn't matter. You can't jump ground levels in the middle of building Erevin. So for building Erevin, it becomes very tricky. Because Erevin often have cities that go up and down and up and down. And you have to kind of negotiate the ground level jumps. Even if you'll continue to build your mechitzas all around, you have to make sure that you're going on a steady ground all the way. That's a Rishetha's extension from that concept. The most common way, of course, though, of building Erevin is we use fences and whatever naturally occurring mechitzas there are, but we, for the most part, the way we build our Erevin is with the Tzuris HaPesach. The Bir HaLach and Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud has a discussion whether or not Tzuris HaPesach is a concept midoraisa or only midorabanan. The Chazon Ish paskins that it's only, that it's midoraisa, but the Prima Gadim has a suffix about it, whether or not it's midoraisa or midorabanan. We have to discuss that by Kelayim, certainly it's Doraisa, that's a Tzuris HaPesach HaMafsekes, but a Tzuris HaPesach around Makefes, that's a Prima Gadim as a suffix if that's Doraisa Derabanan. So that is another reason why we don't use Tzuris HaPesach, Sanu Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, not only because of Asu Rabim Mavatal Mechitzta, but it's also because Tzuris HaPesach might not work with Doraisa. Tzuris HaPesach, the whole thing might only be a solution with Derabanan. The Shulchan Aruch has a halacha with regards to lechi and Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Aleph that you have to be Samech Alav Mi Boid Yoim. A lechi, again, we said we don't use lechis, but a lechi is a mechitza midoraisa. In order to use a lechi, you have to declare it from the previous day. It has to be assigned. It has to be noticed. We're going to use this lechi to enclose the area. If you didn't assign it from the day before, it's no good. It has to be Samech Alav Mi Boid Yoim. Why does it have to be Samach Alav Mi Boid Yoim? Even though Lechi, we pass in Lechi Yoim and Me'elav is good. It could be a naturally occurring Lechi, but you have to declare from before Shabbos that we're going to use it as a Lechi. So why is that? So apparently it's because, Rav Shechter argues in the Eretz HaTzvi, and he mentioned this, is because Lechi is a little bit Midin Heker. The way a Lechi works is not just because it's a Mechitza. It's because it reminds you not to carry beyond this point. It's a Heker. That's how Lechi works, a little bit. There's an element of Heker. So the Bir Halacha and Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Aleph over there by Lechi has a suffix again in the name of the Prima Gadim is Tzuris HaPesach Midin Heker because it reminds you not to carry beyond this point is the Tzuris HaPesach Midin Mechitza. What's the Nafkamina? Do you need to be Samach Alav Mi Boid Yoim? If I have a naturally occurring Tzuris HaPesach, can I rely on that? That's what we discovered in the middle of Shabbos. Are we in an area where there's an air or not? Well, if we have kosher Tzuris HaPesach all around, that's good. Or do we have to be Samach Alav Mi Boid Yoim? Does someone have to recognize it the day before and declare that we're going to rely on this? Because then it reminds you not to carry beyond this point. So that's how Rabbi Shechter understood the suffix of the Prima Gadim of whether or not Tzuris HaPesach is a Din Midoraisa or not. If it's a midin mechitza, it makes more sense to say it's a din midoraisa. If it's midrabanan, it makes more sense to argue that perhaps it's midin heker. So Rav Shechter argued, just like we assume Tzuris HaPesach works midoraisa, so too we assume Tzuris HaPesach is not midin heker, it's midin mechitza. It's not because it reminds you not to carry beyond this point. It's because it's a bona fide mechitza. And therefore, there's no element of heker by Tzuris HaPesach. It's not the same as lechi. Lechi, you have a little pole here. You say, well, why is that pole there? It reminds me not to carry beyond. Tzuris HaPesach is midin mechitza. There is no element of heker. Rav Shechter quoted from a truva of the Avnei Nezer, who proved that Tzuris HaPesach is not midin heker, because Tzuris HaPesach works l'mala me'eser mama. If you remember from Hilchos Sukkah, you cannot have a sukkah that's eser mama tall, because that's whatever is l'mala me'eser mama lo shod ba'ena. Nobody sees it. So it's not going to serve as a reminder. You're not going to see the schach. However, when it comes to Tzuris HaPesach, that works l'mala me'eser mama. Must be, says Avnei Nezer, Tzuris HaPesach is not midin heker, it's midin mechitza. So for that reason, Rav Shechter assumed that a Tzuris HaPesach as well, that's ayimid me'elav. It's only a Tzuris HaPesach that's ayimid me'elav. If you have mechitza that's ayimid me'elav, that's good. You don't have to be samech ala mi'bayd yoim. If we have a mechitza, a cliff, good, shine. It doesn't have to be built with Shema. It doesn't have to be Samach Alav Mi Boid Yoim. That would be good. So too a Tzuris HaPesach, even if it's naturally occurring Tzuris HaPesach, would be okay. What if, though, it was made for another purpose? Not that it was made as a mechitza. It was made not as a mechitza. Why was it made? For telephone wires. That's why it was made. So it's not that it's naturally occurring. See, a mechitza that's naturally occurring, oh, get the mechitza here. What if it was made dafka not as a mechitza? It was made as telephone wires. So is that okay, or is that not okay? So some have interpreted that that's not okay. Where do they base this on? In Gemara Masechtas Yuma. Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach that's made l'achzukei tikra, that's made to support a house, let's say you have this in some living rooms, you have nicer moldings, let's say. You have a fancy molding on the top, the ceiling, and then you have poles that are there to support the house. So in the middle of your living room, you might have, if you have a lot of moldings around and different support beams, a big enough living room, you'll have a Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of your living room. Do you have to put a mezuzah there? No, you don't have to put a mezuzah there. There's a Tzuras HaPesach that's not made for the purpose of a door. It's made for the purpose of holding up the house. So Tzuras HaPesach, that's a Chzukei Tikra, doesn't require a mezuzah. What about with regards to Erevin? So the Mishkanes Yaakov claims, with regards to Erevin too, if it's a Chzukei Tikra, that's not a good Tzuras HaPesach. Why not? Because it's not made for Tzuras HaPesach. Why does it have to be made for Tzuras HaPesach? So the Mishkanes Yaakov holds, you see, that the Tzuras HaPesach has to be made for the purpose of a Tzuras HaPesach. Just like Suke Tikra is not Chayiv Mezuzah, it's not Chayiv, it's not a good Tzuras HaPesach for Erevin either. So for that reason, some Achrayim said you can't use telephone wires, even if they're a Kasher Tzuras HaPesach. It's not on the side of the telephone pole. It's on top of the telephone pole. It's no good, because it wasn't made L'Shem Tzuras HaPesach. It was made L'Chzukei Tikra. It was made as a telephone poles. And the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. He quotes some Achrayim who said he can't use the telegraph poles as a Tzuras HaPesach, because it's made L'Chzukei Tikra. It's not made L'Shem Tzuras HaPesach. However, Rav Shechter did not learn pshat like that in the halach of L'Chzukei Tikra, because Rav Shechter felt, we prove from the Avnei Nezer that Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker. That makes sense. If Tzuras HaPesach is Midin Heker, it's to remind you not to carry beyond this point. Well, if it's made for telephone poles, then no, it's not, how could that serve as a reminder not to carry beyond this point? It's here because of the telephone poles. But if Tzuras HaPesach is Midin Mechitza, just like a house that's made to hold up a house, I could use as a Mechitza to enclose my area, my Eruv, like we could use the front of buildings to enclose the street. So, too, it makes no sense to argue that a Tzuras HaPesach can't be used, even though it was made for a different purpose, to enclose the area. Because Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker, it's Midin Mechitza. So, Reshechta did not learn Pshat like that in the Chumrah of L'Chzukei Tikra. He learned that it has nothing to do with the fact that it was not made for that purpose. Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker at all, it doesn't have to be made for that purpose. The reason why L'Chzukei Tikra is no good is because it's part of a structure. Shechter felt that if you have a Tzuras HaPesach that's part of a structure, like he discussed by the George Washington Bridge, even though the bars of the top of the suspension bridge might look like a Tzuras HaPesach, that's no good, because that's part of a larger structure. Shechter felt that a Tzuras HaPesach has to be an independent structure, not part of a larger structure. He bases this on a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham that you can't have such a situation like this. You can't use a house as a kanamitan. Why can't I have a house like this? You and I are neighbors, and we just want to build an air between the two of our houses, so I put a kanal gabem from the top of my house to the top of your house. So the Magen Avraham says you can't do that. That's because the house is a structure. A structure cannot be a kanamikan. So that's how Rabbi Shechter understood the problem of L'Chzukei Tikra. It's not because it wasn't made for the purpose of Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker. It doesn't have to be made for that purpose. It's rather because it's part of a structure, and a structure cannot be used as a Tzuras HaPesach. Therefore, Rabbi Shechter argued telephone poles are not a structure. Structure is if it's four amos wide. That's a structure, a house. A house is a structure. But if it's less than four amos wide, that's not a structure. So therefore, the bridge, the Mishnah Berurah quotes like that from Makor Chayim, that you can't have a kanamikan or a lechi that's four amos wide. So Meshechter interpreted that the problem with that is, you'll come across it in the Mishnah Berurah, the problem with that is because that's a structure. The structure cannot be a kanamikan. So, but if it's less than four amos wide, like a telephone pole, well, that's fine, that's not a structure, and that's okay. When is Achzukei Tikra a problem? Is when it's part of a house or part of a bridge, a big structure, then it cannot be used as a kanamikan. So for that reason, Rosh Hashanah has a different chumrah, which other paiskim disagree with, which is if, let's say, you have a fence, a chain link fence, you know, and then you have over here an end pole, and then I want to make a Turas HaPesach here, so I have a pole that comes out, wire like this, fence, and that will lead to this. The pole of the fence will be a Kanamikan for Turas HaPesach. Very common solution in many places, because this is a built-in pole cemented into the ground, Gevaldik. So the Shelf told you can't do that, because this Kanamikan is part of a structure of the fence. The fence is 4 amos wide. The fence is a structure, so you cannot use a fence pole as a Kanamikan. For that reason as well, Rabbi Shechter is more unique understanding of Achzukei Tik. Rabbi Eider did this all the time, the common solution. Rabbi Shechter holds you can't do that. Another solution that was used by Rabbi Heinemann and Rabbi Eider that Rabbi Shechter does not believe in is something that's discussed by the Ramah about using paint. The Ramah says paint is good for a lechi. Lechi only has to be a very small thickness, so you could use paint. Or by Heinemann uses reflector strips, because that no one peels them off. They think it's part of the wall or something. We'll use reflector strips as a says you could use that as a lechi. Mishnah Berurah calls like that from a Truma Sadeshin. You could use sid. So Mishnah Berurah says you could also use it as a kanamikan for a Turas HaPesach. So Rabbi Shechter felt he cannot do that. Why? Because a kanamikan has to be able to be yachol lahamid del shokash. The kanamikan has to be able to hold the del shokash. The reflector strip can't hold anything. What can hold the del shokash? The cement wall that it's attached to. But the cement wall is part of a structure. You can't use the cement wall to satisfy the requirement of yachol lahamid del shokash. That's part of a big house. So the reflector strip itself cannot be yachol lahamid del shokash. So you cannot be used, the big house, which is part of a structure, to be Yachal Hamid El Shokash, and the little reflector strip can't hold anything. Except for Rabbi Shechter is opposed to using what the Mishnah Berurah here says, you could use Sid as a Kanamikan. Ramah is discussing a Lechi. The Mishnah Berurah says as a Kanamikan of a Turas HaPesach, you cannot use Sid or a reflector strip as a Kanamikan for a Turas HaPesach, because it cannot be Yachal Hamid El Shokash, and the house that it's attached to, or the structure that's attached to it, cannot be used, because that's like Zuke Tikkur, that's part of a structure. So over here, if you're walking down by 187th Street today, you'll see something interesting, which is next to the building on 187th Street. You'll pay attention. This is the old Eruv. So the Shechter now says it's no good. There's on the building on the corner of 187th Street and Amsterdam Avenue, there's a little wooden slat attached to an apartment building with a wire that's on top of it. So wooden slat was the Kanamikan of the Eruv, of the Turas HaPesach. So the Shechter holds that that's no good. This little slat, if you would attach a door to that little slat, cannot hold much. Cannot hold a door that would go to the other end. What could hold a door? The apartment building. The apartment building is a structure. That can't be used as a kanamikan. And the little slat itself, if you would attach the door just to the slat, see here, the door is attached just to this wooden, this metal doorpost, and it holds the door. That's called the Yachal HaMedelis. Here, if you attach the door just to the wooden slat, you'd only screw it into the wooden slat, wouldn't be able to hold it. The slat would probably fall out. The only way it could hold something is if you screw it into the house. That's but your house is no good. That's not called that's a structure, cannot be used as a kanamikan. So he's opposed to using this type of situation because it's not the Yachal Hamid El Shokash. So that's why in the Breuer side Erev, in order to satisfy Rabbi Shechter, they made these out of metal and screwed them into the building. Because now the metal kanamikan could hold the Del Shokash and attach it to a building, could hold the Del Shokash that would go to the other side. Because the building itself cannot serve as a kanamikan. However, many others build Erevin with paint or reflector strips, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Because the Rabbi Shechter, however, telephone poles, again, Rabbi Shechter held was not a structure. So telephone poles, oftentimes, they'll put the little tubing in, they'll have a wire that goes on the side of a telephone pole. Let's say this is a side view of a telephone pole. A wire, telephone wire, goes on the side. Most telephone wires don't go on top of poles, usually, typically. They go on the side. It's the lowest wire down is a telephone wire. The higher ones are the electrical wires. So, in order to fix this situation, if the telephone wire goes on the side of the pole, we'll put a tubing on the side, which is what the phone company uses, so they don't mind that it's there. People don't really notice it. A tubing that goes all the way up to the wire. Now it's called al gabehem. It's not on the side, it's on top. So Rishelter held that that could blend in to become part of the pole. The pole itself is not a structure, and the pole, the telephone pole, could be Yachal HaMadel Shokash. So that is okay. The building situation, though, is worse. Because the Rishelter is of the opinion that the Kana, Atzad, it doesn't have to, it's not Midim Lechi, doesn't have any halachos of Heker, so that reason Rishelter disagreed with many chumras that appear in the Mishnah Berurah with regards to a Kana Min Hatzad. The Mishnah Shulchan Aruch writes in, the Shari Tshuva in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav, quotes in the name of the Bukhar Shar, that equated all halachas of the Kana Mikana of a Tzuras HaPesach with that of Lechi. Whatever applies to a Lechi applies to a Kana Mikana of a Tzuras HaPesach. Rishelter didn't like, why should we compare the two? And the Avnei Nezer already disagrees with this, and the Chazanish disagrees with the Bukhar Shar. Because a Lechi is Midin Heker. So it has certain specifications, but certain requirements, but a Kana Min Hatzad of a Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker. It's Midin Mechitza. So for example, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Kana Chav Gimel that a Lechi has to be next to a wall. You can't have a freestanding Lechi. If it's further away from the wall, 3 Tfachim, it's no good. So the Shari Tshuva quotes in Makar Chaim from the Nesivis that so too a Tzuras HaPesach has to be next to a wall. It can't be freestanding. Just like a Lechi. Why? Because if it's not next to a wall, nobody knows what it's doing there. It doesn't remind me of anything. Next to a wall, I see it. If it's freestanding, a pole in the middle of nothing, it's not going to remind me of anything. So he says the same is true with regards to a Tzuras HaPesach. The Makar Chaim is not sure. Both sides of the Tzuras HaPesach have to be adjacent to a wall, or at least only one side. But either way, you cannot have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. And that's why many of Machmir and our Erevim, which are built primarily with Tzuras HaPesach, have no breaks. Because you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that's next to nothing. You can't have Tzuras HaPesach, Tzuras HaPesach, Tzuras HaPesach, and then jump to a wall. You can't have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach, so you can't jump to a wall. Just like the Bukhar Shor said, a Lechi has to be next to a wall, so to a Tzuras HaPesach. That's why most don't have breaks in their Erevin. That's the main reason. But Shachter disagreed. He felt, no, Tzuras HaPesach is Midin Mechitza, not Midin Lechi or Heker. And Oymed Me'elav, it's good, just like Lamal Me'asr Mama is good. Therefore, Rishelter felt you could have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach, and that's why he's more open to jumping from a Tzuras HaPesach to a wall, as long as it's not a Pirtz Yesem Ayeser, and it's going in the same general direction, it's not a Pirtz Bekeren Zavis, so then that would be okay. He assessed Pirtz Bekeren Zavis. This becomes a problem when you're jumping from thing to thing. When Rishelter's Erev, and maybe we'll have the tour, you'll see how he jumps from place to place, jump from a building to a Tzuras HaPesach. So Rishelter felt, in order to assess what's called the Pirtz Bekeren Zavis, you look at an aerial map of the Erev, whatever the general four corners of the Erev are, where it changes direction from going north to south to east to west, then that's called the Keren Zavis. And the Pirtz Bekeren Zavis, therefore, would be a problem, so you can't skip there. But assuming that it's not one of the general four corners of the Erev, you could skip from place to place. So over here, on 185th Street by the Schottenstein, you'll see still a remnant of the old Erev. There's a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach, which used to, before the larger YU Erev that extended to Broadway. What's the street before Broadway? Wadsworth. Now it extends all the way there. But in the old version of the YU Erev, which was just across Amsterdam Avenue, it went up to Schottenstein and they came across and back down. So there was a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach, which they jumped from the building of Schottenstein to the Tzuras HaPesach, from the Tzuras HaPesach to parking lot H, whatever that is, E, whatever, H, something over there. There's a parking lot over there, and the fence they ran down, and they used the front of the buildings. So there was a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. That's of Shef Tashita, that you can have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. And others disagree with him too, with the Bukhar Shar too, Chazanish and many others. Because of this, though, Rav Shach also has a different understanding of other halachas, the Chazanish too. Rav Shach is mainly following the Chazanish on these points. The Shari Tshuva, Shin Samach Gimel, Siv Chavav, quotes the problem of having a Tzuras HaPesach that's Achorei HaKoiso. A Tzuras HaPesach that's behind the wall. That's like this. That's this type of situation. So why is that a problem? You have it. You can have it. So the the Panamiros, which I think is quoted by the Shaarei Tshuva, says that that's a problem because of Heker. Inside this area, which is the area you're trying to enclose, nobody sees it. Turis HaPesach, it's behind the wall. So you could solve that problem. Chaim Sofer and others, Avnezer suggests build very tall poles. We'll be able to see it above the wall. It'll extend way above the wall. And then your Turis HaPesach will be okay. The Chazon Ish holds that this is a problem, though, for a different reason. Turis HaPesach is a problem because in order for a Turis HaPesach to be valid, it has to be what he calls Mema'et B'chalal HaPesach. Nobody builds a doorway unless it's in the opening of the doorway. This is a doorway, then why isn't it in the opening for the door? It's not, so that's why it's no good. So therefore the Chazon Ish held, such a situation would also be no good. Yeah, picture. Like this. That's also no good. Because the Turis HaPesach is not Mema'ed B'chalal HaPesach. In order for it to be good, it would have to be built here and here, and inside. Or even this is no good, according to the Chazon Ish. That's also no good, even if this is a break of none and a break of none, because that's not Mema'ed B'chalal HaPesach. So the Chazon Ish had an entire different understanding of the problem of Achurei HaKoisel. Some understood it Midin Heker, the Chazon Ish understands it because it has to be Mema'ed B'chalal HaPesach. Mekor Chaim also said if you have a Turis HaPesach, Toif Rishus HaYochid, which comes up, you have like this, pole here, and a pole here, and it extends across. So you have a Turis HaPesach here, Mema'ed B'chalal HaPesach, I'd say, but it's in, this one is inside of Rishus HaYochid. So the Mekor Chaim holds that that is no good. Shechter mentioned that in Europe, according to the name of Mendel Zaks, the minhag was to be Mekel on that Shiloh, and there are many Erevin that have Turis HaPesach's Teich Rishus HaYochid. It's sometimes very hard to avoid, but Shechter's opinion is that that is my apostle Medina. He will not approve an Erev that has one. What is the problem with the Kana Teich Rishus HaYochid? So Avnei Nezer has two possibilities. Either because it's Midin Heker, you can't see the Turis HaPesach, it's enclosed in another Rishus. So no problem, make it very tall, then we'll be able to see it. That's how the Avnei Nezer solves the problem. With the Avnei Nezer is another tshuva that the problem is because it's Mesulak Mikan, it's Siluk Mechitzos. This Kana, Minatzad, is now Mesulak, it's boxed out of the area that you're trying to enclose, like the air case we had before. And that's what Reshefta subscribes to. The Kana Teich Rishus HaYochid is a problem of Siluk Mechitzos. So no matter how tall you make it, will not be any good. This comes up with regards to the issue that's discussed by the Tzvi Pesach Frank and with Cook, which is regards if you have a tail, and Turis HaPesach HaGabi HaTail, you have like this. So a tail, as we know, is considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. So this is like Teich Rishus HaYochid, the fact that it's built on top of a tail. There's a Reshefter's Homowak example. The problem is, so here you could see the Turis HaPesach though, so there is no Heger problem, it's just a problem if you hold of the problem of Teich Rishus HaYochid is one of Siluk Mechitzos. The Reshefter felt that we should be Machmir on that. The Reshefter extended this as well, that you cannot have a Turis HaPesach that extends over a house. Or over Rishus HaYochid either. You have a Turis HaPesach that goes over someone's house or someone's enclosed backyard is also a problem. Because the enclosed house is the Rishus HaYochid, and the Rishus HaYochid extends all the way up. Mechitzas are Oilos Ad HaRakia. So this part of the Turis HaPesach is Mesulak Mikan. It's as if it doesn't exist. It's not there. It's like it's on Mars. So Shafa said, you have a Turis HaPesach till here, then this is Mars, and the Turis HaPesach picks up, that's Hizal Shinus, and then the Turis HaPesach picks up after here. So that's no good. And others are, this was a machlekes in the Avnei Nezer between himself and the Yeshuas Malkoi, and some are Mekel, some are Machmer. The Velt, everyone's Mekel on this Shiloh, but Reshefter is Machmer on that. But that's no good. Other Achbarim ask, and Reshefter's Chumrah, well then how come every time a car is underneath the Turis HaPesach, the car is a Rishus HaYochid, the dimensions, 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, might be Yud Tfachim tall, how come that doesn't disrupt the Turis HaPesach that's on top? Reshefter claims because the car is here, B'Toyrus HaRai, the Turis HaPesach is here, B'Toyrus Keva, so that the car doesn't disrupt it. But if there's a dumpster or a mailbox there, then that's there more of a permanent fashion that could disrupt the Turis HaPesach that's on top.
What? The chimichurri doesn't move. The chimichurri car, the van thing that sells.
Oh, the Spanish food.
They don't move.
They're parked there forever. They have to move for street cleaning. They move every week for street cleaning. They come right back. It must move.
It's still, that's considered a ride, whether they're not.
I don't know. You gotta ask him. I don't know. I don't know. He was against, therefore, also awnings that go underneath the Turis HaPesach. We've had this over here on Broadway. But there was an awning underneath the Turis HaPesach, and Rabbi Schwartz moved the Turis HaPesach in order to satisfy Rabbi Shechter. Because an awning also was like a new ground level underneath, which is really an application of an application, but a new ground level underneath the Turis HaPesach, so now the Turis HaPesach on top of it, that part is like a Samaras, it doesn't, can't relate to the ground level below. The main issue that comes up, though, with regards to Turis HaPesach is the fact that it has to be al gabeihem. Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samuch Bey, Sif Yud Aleph, the Turis HaPesach she'asam min hatzad is no good. And many times the telephone wires run on the side of telephone poles, not on top. Here the telephone wires are underneath the ground. That's why in Manhattan nobody uses telephone wires. But in everywhere else in the world, in Turis HaPesach, the telephone wires are outside, on top of the ground, and that's what many people use to build Turis HaPesach. But you have to make sure it's al gabeihem. So sometimes it's naturally al gabeihem. And even though it wasn't built for the purpose of Turis HaPesach, as we said, most are meiko, that even though it was built for a different purpose, Turis HaPesach is midin mechitza, that's okay, as long as it naturally goes al gabeihem. But if it doesn't naturally go al gabeihem on top of the telephone pole, it's min hatzad, you have to fix it with some sort of tubing that you run up the side of the pole, and it goes right underneath the wire. The Taz and the Chiddush, that even if it doesn't go al gabeihem, even if it's not literally al gabeihem, if it's flush with the top here, like this. That's okay. The Taz says that's all right, because there is no part of the side poles that goes higher than the Kanal Gabeihem. So that's the opinion of the Taz, according to Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Samach Dal and Shin Samach Beis, but most Acharim don't accept that. Reshech Lechor HaChiddush, which is very relevant, the mice in many Erevin, which is that this is called Al Gabeihem. If let's say you have a telephone pole, then many times on a telephone pole they need extra room for which they put a little plate next to it and it extends up the telephone pole. So Rav Shechter felt that that's all considered to be one continuation of the pole, and that's called al gabeihem if it's on top of that, since the whole thing is going in the same direction. There was, though, a case which was relied upon mistakenly in a certain community, won't tell you where, based on Rav Shechter's pack, because they misunderstood it. Have this type of situation. Oftentimes, and I'm blowing it up, exaggerating it, you have a plate, a little cap on top, which is made out of ceramic, it's not the conductive electricity, and there are three slots where they put the wires. I don't know why, that's the way they build it, come out everywhere. So on top of the plate, it's not a cone, it's more of a cone, not a triangle, and there's three slots. So you shut the hell, if it's in slot B, that's okay, that's on top of the bottom plate. That's in the same direction. This little cone is not in the same direction. That's wider than it is tall. That's something else. So we ignore that, but if it's on B slot, that's okay. A slot is over the pole itself. If it's in the C slot, that's no good. And there was an Erev that built every single one was in the C slot. And they said, well, Shalta said it's an extension from the pole. That's okay. But that was a mistake because it was not over the bottom plate. It was over the cone. They've since fixed it. But it was over the cone on the part and not over the plate. That's no good. So, but it is something that is utilized in many Erevin that are approved by Rabbi Shechter. They use that. In Toronto, Amol, this is not the case anymore, which was built with the psak of the Marsham. The Marsham felt that the same way Rabbi Shechter felt, this is a continuation of the pole going up. And the Maaseh, it's already found in the Chazanish that this case is good. Chazanish holds that that's good. But the Marsham felt this should be good too. This is all an extension, and since it's al gabeihem of the crossbar, that's called al gabeihem. Rav Shechter mentioned that in Toronto they built it with a kula. It was built with this kula. That if the wire is over a crossbar, that's also called al gabeihem, and that happens a lot. But everyone disagreed with that. This is not called in the same direction. That's not called a hemshuk of the same pole. That's called a different pole, and that's not good. Another thing which comes up, and this is a big kula that Rav Shechter has, is discussed by the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samach Dawid, is if it is drilled through the pole, or tachuv, chakuk, inside of the pole. So the Mishnah Berurah is really discussing a suffix of the Prima Gadim about this case, just so you be able to picture what he's talking about. Where if you have a pole which was carved in, and the wire, or the kanal gabeihem, goes inside of a little indentation. So there isn't an area on the side poles that extends above it, but at the same time, it's not on the tippy top of the pole. It's kind of carved into the pole. So the Prima Gadim wasn't sure if that was good. And the Makar Chaim, though, says, M'chakak, Merhani, Makar Chaim says, if you drill into the pole, then it is good. That's for sure good, even if there are parts that extend higher. It doesn't matter. We ignore those parts. So that's why the Makar Chaim was Mako, that if it bolts through the pole, that's what's known in the common Erev building world as a bolt through. Every telephone wire or electrical wire certainly has a guide wire. That is a taut metal wire that's there, that's drilled into both telephone poles, either side, to keep the telephone poles straight, like braces. You understand? You have pole. You want to keep them straight, so what do? You drill in metal wires that hold it straight, like braces. And that keeps the poles straight, even though it doesn't work too well, but poles are often tilted over, and it keeps the poles straight for the most part. So if that bolts through, they don't have it every pole, but a lot. So if that bolts through the pole, and usually it tends to a metal bolt that goes all the way through, and there's a cap at the other end, like a nut, you know, like a bolt and a nut. So if that goes all the way through, so that whole thing goes all the way through. It's like the wire goes all the way through. We view that as al gabayim. And that's very cheap because it exists naturally. So if you have a bolt through, an Erev that has lots of bolt throughs is very helpful. The Chazon Ish is Mako with the Chakuk, like the Makor Chaim, that is okay. The Mishnah Berurah, though, is not happy with that. And the Makor, he says, Prima Gadam, and it's suffic about it, and he thinks that that's only if there isn't part that goes above the wire. Chakuk, like the V, but it's at the highest point. But not if you have pole that goes above, then it's not at the top, it's in the middle. That's not Al Gabayim. So the Chazon Ish, no, it's Al Gabayim of that part of the pole and the part that extends above. Who cares? Ignore that. It's a part, it goes all the way through, and it's on top of that, the part of the pole that's underneath it. So Chazon Ish held that is called Al-Gabayim. The Mishnah Berurah was Machmir, that's not called Al-Gabayim. And many Paiskim are Machmir, like the Mishnah Berurah. So Rabbi Eider did not build Erevin with this bulk throughs. So in the larger, Erevin world, don't follow the Pesachim of the Chazon Ish. So they're machmir on this. Reshechler's make all that. If it goes through the pole, that's kosher. At the same time, and many others too, at the same time, Chazon Ish was machmir on the tapered pole. If let's say you have a wire that goes around the tapered pole. So even though it's al gabayim of this part of the pole, right, if it's taut, tightly around the pole, Chazon Ish held, that doesn't look like al gabayim. That looks like it's on the side. Even though it's over the bottom part of the pole, the tapered pole, the Chazon Ish felt that that's no good. Or for the same reason as well, if you have a nail that goes into a pole with a wire attached to the nail, even though the nail is over part of the pole, if it doesn't go all the way through till you see the bolt on the other side, the nut on the other side, the Chazon Ish says that's no good. So that's something to watch out for too. If it just attaches to a nail, that's not all right. According to the Mishnah Berurah holds, though, that these tachuv things are no good. It has to be at the tippy top of the pole. But the Mishnah Berurah discusses, what if you have a wire of a Tzuras HaPesach that's tied around the nail at the top of the pole? So even that, the Mishnah Berurah is making on that the nail is considered to be something else. The nail is not part of the pole. It's not an extension of the pole. It's its own separate thing. And if it's tied around the nail at the top of the pole, that is okay. The Tzuras have the... few more issues. The Kana Al Gabayim does not have to touch the Kana Min Atzad that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Even if there ain't, the Gemara said, ain't Sarach Liga, they don't have to touch, because as long as it's 10 Tfachim tall, we view, based on the principle of good Asik Mechis, as if it goes up and hits the Kana Al Gabayim. So in theory, and you find like this in camps sometimes, they'll build an Eruv with short poles, and the wire will just go over the short pole. And in suburban areas where they have very, very cheap budgets, that's the way they do things. The problem with that is that the issue with that, though, is that you have to make sure that it's al gabayim. And that's not always as easy to figure out as you might imagine. How do you find out if a top wire is al gabayim is literally on top of the little short pole that's on the bottom? So that's a machlekes hapoiskim. How are you supposed to determine that? Are you supposed to drill? This is what Rabbi Shechter discussed. I don't know. Often guys don't get what he's talking about. Do you have to drop a plumb line as you attach a weight to a string and the gravity takes, pulls it based on the pull of gravity to the area that's directly below it? So one way of determining where, is al gabayim, where is directly underneath the wire, is going up to the wire, dropping a plumb line from the wire and seeing where it goes to the ground and putting a pole right there. So that's one way of doing it. Very costly, very time consuming. You can do that. Or another way to do it is just to eyeball it. To guess, yeah, where does it look like it's on top? Machaimish, where does it look like it's on top? So it's machlekes ha'paiskim. Do you actually have to drop a plumb line or go based on what Rabbi Shetler called kafira is ha'ayin? Where does it basically look like it's on top? So that's a machlekes ha'paiskim. Many held that you have to drop a plumb line. Others held, the Salvechik held, the Ramesha held, you could go based on kafira is ha'ayin. Others held, you have to drop a plumb line. In my opinion, though, in my experience, is that what is one person's kafira is ha'ayin is not another person's kafira is ha'ayin. I've often argued with community rabbis, if you're the one paying the bills, kafira is ha'ayin looks, is pretty exact. If you're not paying the bills, then kafira is ha'ayin looks very different. And so my opinion is, if you're going to go based on kafira is ha'ayin, and later I heard this in the name of Zalman Chaim Goldberg, if you're going to go based on kafira is ha'ayin, it has to be indisputable that that's kafira is ha'ayin. I mean, it has to be pretty wide. Kuli amalo pligi, that's kafira is ha'ayin. Whether it's right or not, oftentimes, we don't know. You have to actually drop a plumb line, or what now, you could use a laser pointer attached to a level. When a level you buy in Home Depot with a little bubble in it, you attach a laser pointer. That's how they do it nowadays, and until you hit the wire, and then you drop, put right there, put a condom in outside. So that's the modern plumb line, but that's time consuming, and that changes. You have to go back and check this all the time. Poles move, wires move. Becomes very time-consuming and clumsy. So for that reason, simply to avoid the whole issue in places that have some sort of substantial budget for Erevin, they run the tubing on the side of the telephone poles all the way up to the wire. That is the preferable way of doing it, and it should get as close to the wire as possible. In order to do that, sometimes the pole will curve, and the wire won't be exactly next to the pole, so sometimes you have to pull the tubing off the pole, something like a pole like this, and a wire is not exactly next to the pole. You have to pull the tubing off the pole. If you ever take a tour of a community area, you'll see. Sometimes the tubing is pulled off the pole to be right underneath the wire. If it's next to the wire, that's no good. It has to be right underneath the wire. I would say that is the most challenging part of building an area. That's what we spend most of our time on, is to make sure that it's al gabeim. What if, though, it's not going to be touching? You're going to have it, you know that it's al gabeim, but it's not touching. So then the Taz says, well, you can't have something that's mafsik in between. If mafsik in between, then that breaks up the good asik mechitzta. However, many Achronim disagree with the Taz. The Gemara seems to be against the Taz. And even though you had the Rav Shachta had talked about the kippah, and you were using the top part of the wall, even though there was an arch and there was bricks in between, they assume that that was a kosher for kanim min atzad. So even though there is a davar mafsik, many are mekel. But at the same time, those who are machmir, if it's a big electrical box, something. If it's dalut tfachim, by dalut tfachim in between the kanam and atzad and the kanal gabeya, many will be machmir. But Rishachta felt meikra din, we can't be make on that. The last issue I wanted to bring up is that of pischei shamoi. Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that pischei shamoi lo yavdi inchi, and that's no good for a tzuras haPesach. So the way most of Rishonim understand this is that it's even nichnas, even yotzei, like this. A brick wall, and you have a wire that goes on top. Like a brick wall that's half the wall. Bad, again, excuse my artistry. Eben nichnas, eben yotzei. So, okay, fine, you can't have that. Pischei shamoi is no good. However, the Mordechai says, no. What it means is, and many Rishonim don't subscribe to this, but this is the opinion of the Mordechai, what it means is any Turas HaPesach that's not Kida'abdi Inshi is called Pischei shamoi. It's a poorly constructed Turas HaPesach. That was what Rishachta kept quoting. And the Mishkan is Yaakov Paskins like this Mordechai. For that reason, Rav Shechter had a problem with the sagging wire. The Mishnah Yaakov has a problem with sagging wires. Nobody builds a Turas HaPesach like that. Nobody builds a doorway like that. And for that reason as well, the Chazon Ish holds, and this is a major issue in contemporary Erevin, that you can, a Turas Kanim in outside of a Turas HaPesach has to go all the way to the ground. It cannot rely on Lovud. It's within Lovud to the ground. That's good enough. It has to go all the way to the ground. Rabbi Ida did not insist that many Erevin do not have that. According to Rabbi Shechter, it has to go all the way to the ground. Many don't even believe that the Chazon Ish ever said it. I've had many arguments with people. Now I carry a printed copy around with me. Chazon Ish says it has to go all the way to the ground. Otherwise, people don't believe you. Chazon Ish says the Kanam in Atzad has to go all the way to the ground. Why? Because otherwise it's not Kedah Abdi Inchi. Rabbi Willard told me, he writes in the Am Mordechai as well, and later printed in the Am Mordechai, he doesn't think that we pass like this Mordechai. It doesn't have to be Kedah Abdi Inchi. Why not? Because Turas HaPesach, we hold, works. Bekaren Zavis. If you have a Pitzchel Bekaren Zavis, how do you fix it? Put a Turas HaPesach there. Whoa, nobody builds a Turas HaPesach Bekaren Zavis. So don't you see the Turas HaPesach doesn't have to be Kedah Abdi Inchi. And in fact, the Stipler writes, many write, you can rely on Lovid by the Kunderman Atzat, within Lovid to the ground, or for cracks in the middle, as long as it's within Lovid, that's okay. So Reshechta told me this, that no, he thought that that Raya is not a Raya. Why? Because what it means here is the Torah HaPesach has to be constructed kid Avdi Inchi, not that it's placed in a location that's Avdi Inchi. No. For example, we could have a doorway next to a doorway next to a doorway next to a doorway next to a doorway. Even though you see in First Hall, some people do build doorways like that, you know, doorway, 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 doorway. For the most part, most people don't build doorway, 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 a whole house of doorways. It's not common to have like that. But our Erev is all doorways. So you see, it doesn't mean that the doorway has to be situated in a place that's Kedav D'Inchi. All it means is that the doorway has to be constructed Kedav D'Inchi. For that reason as well, Reshethu was Mekel the Turis HaPesach HaGabi Amayim, which many are Machmiran, is Mekel, because the Turis HaPesach is Kedav D'Inchi, even though it's in a place that nobody would build a doorway over a body of water. As long as the Turis HaPesach is Kedav D'Inchi, that's okay. So for that reason, though, Rabbi Shechter felt that it cannot be, it has to be Kedav D'Inchi. So that's why he was held that the wire cannot go at a big angle. You know, if you have like this, cannot go at a big angle, and that's no good. It's not Kedav D'Inchi. Rabbi Eider quotes him, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, that it depends on 45 degrees. If this goes down at greater than 45 degree angle, that's a problem. Less than 45 degrees is not a problem. That's the standard that's employed, I'd say, in many Erevin. It depends on 45 degrees. And then Rabbi Yadar comes up with an additional chiddush that if it follows the lie of the land, let's say the land goes down like this, that doesn't even count. It means 45 degree veer from the lie of the land. But if it follows the lie of the land, certainly it could go like that. Rabbi Shechter felt, no, that whole thing is wrong. No, never heard of the 45 degrees. It has to be Kedav D'Inchi. And again, that's a judgment call for Rabbi Shechter. It was called Kedav D'Inchi. So. And he felt the lie of the land doesn't play a role in it. In fact, he felt that the lie of the land also has to be Kedav D'Inchi. So let's say this is like 187th Street. Rabbi Shechter felt you cannot have a Turis HaPesach that goes all the way down 187th Street. If it's a very steep hill. He didn't say it about 187th Street. I don't want to take that back. But if it would be a very steep hill, that's not the bottom, the ground level underneath. It also has to be Kedav D'Inchi. And if any part of the Turis HaPesach is Lav Kedav D'Inchi, then that would be a problem. So for that reason as well, if the side poles are tilting too much, it's not Kedav D'Inchi. Also then he would have a problem. Oftentimes telephone poles are tilting a little bit. So he always hesitates. But you know, unless it's really it's egregious, he won't postulate it. But ideally it should be Kedav D'Inchi. Okay, we'll leave off over here. Okay, Shkaya Chabesah.